In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, these passages about considering the lilies of the field and other recommendations that our Lord has for us as human beings living in the midst of His creation are oftentimes considered all by themselves instead of beginning where He begins, by saying that the eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. Now, what does He mean by that? We know a similar saying about the eye that is more easily understood. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And what we mean when we say that is that beauty is what beauty is to me. I see out into the world with my own eyes, and what is beautiful to me is beautiful, and what is not beautiful to me isn't beautiful. What Jesus is saying here is very different. What we're saying about beauty is that beauty is relative to the response that we make to beauty. But what is Jesus saying when He says that the eye is the lamp of the body? He's talking about some capacity, some ability that our eyes have to either see the way things really are in the world and be enlightened, or, on the other hand, to misunderstand the way things are in the world. And because of the lack of soundness in our eye, we see darkness. So it's a matter of the eye's ability to see what is really there. The eye of the body is the lamp of the soul. When the fathers read these passages, they have an explanation that at first seems more difficult than it really is. They point out that obviously our Lord is making a comparison between how we use our physical eyes to see the beauty and the complexity and all of the differences that are in the world. If we go on a riding tour of the mountains, we see the magnificence of the forests and the hills, and the rivers and the streams and the waterfalls. If we were blind, we wouldn't see any of those things. The world would be dark to us as far as our sight is concerned. But Jesus isn't talking about the kind of blindness that they test for at the doctor's office. He's talking about a blindness or a ability to see the difference and the complexity and what is really there in the world, or the lack of that ability, a spiritual ability. And that spiritual ability is affected by certain things that He will explain to us. He says that if the eye is evil, if it's not sound, we will be filled, instead of being filled with light, we'll be filled with darkness and despair. But here's the importance of the difference between our saying beauty is in the eye of the beholder and what Jesus is saying. The eye is the lamp of the body. The point that He's making is that the world is some particular way. And either we're seeing how things are, really, or we're not seeing how they are. It's not relativism. It doesn't depend on how we respond. It depends on our ability to see and to take in the beauty and the light that is really there or not. And if our eye isn't sound, if our spiritual eyes are unsound, and we look out into the world, and we don't see things as they really are, bright and beautiful, with the many colors and differences, differences between one person and another, and the subtle nature of the events that we live through. Are we seeing them fully as they really are, or is our spiritual eye darkened for some reason? And he says, if we're not seeing how things really are, if we are not seeing the spiritual reality of how things actually are in the world, and instead we are blind to all of that, how great is that darkness, he says. The darkness isn't the reality. The darkness is our inability for some flaw in our spiritual ability to see everything that's really there. And then he says, no man can serve two masters. Now, what has that got to do with the eye is the lamp of the body? He goes on to explain what he means. No man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon being the love of wealth, the love of earthly advantage, privilege, power, strength, the love of the things of the world. Which one is our master? He is explaining that if we love those things rather than God, it will affect our ability to see the spiritual reality of the world around us. In fact, we will lose the ability to see things as they actually are. We'll be filled instead with darkness. Often, the darkness of black despair. And how often do we have these struggles with despair? All based on fear that we are not going to have the things of the world that we feel we need to have. If our eyes are trained, our spiritual sight is trained by those fears, that love of material security above all other things, that's what's most basic after all. Once you have the material and physical security, then maybe you can worry about spiritual things. Well, that's upside down as far as what Jesus is explaining to us. If we do it that way, we're going to be blind. We're not going to see the reality of our lives. We're going to miss it all. No man can serve two masters. You make your choice who you serve, and it affects your ability to see the world around you and to experience the fullness of your own life. Consider the birds of the air. They toil not, neither do they spin. They are not concerned, and they have what they need. Now, this isn't advice, as we might often think, that we should just live life without any concern. He is advising us to live as human beings. Aren't you greater than they? If we go through our lives and we simply do the things that need to be done, like the birds of the air, do we know what those things are? The practical necessities, we give those things their due. They're how we spend a great deal of our time. But the anxiety, the fear, the love of material and worldly things doesn't add anything to our fulfillment of the daily necessities, things that we need to do. It's a matter of the eyes with which we see the world around us. How are we training them? Are we enabling ourselves to see things as they actually are, or are we spiritually blinding ourselves by concern and worry and anxiety? Are you not greater than the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, whose lives last only for a brief period of time? It is we, human beings, that God has created to be able to see the spiritual dimension of life, the color and the meaning, the value. Why would we want to blind ourselves to all of that? And so if we love God, first of all, and seek His kingdom, we are doing something practical. We are training our spiritual eyes so that we'll be able to walk around in the midst of God's creation as God created us to live as human beings, more than the birds of the air, able to live in a way that only human beings can live, created in the image and likeness of God, but needing to have our lives filled with brightness and enlightenment and not some false despair. The mistake that we make is that we think we're being realistic when we put the things of the world ahead of everything else, which leads to a spiritual blindness that leads to despair. And the point that he makes is that that despair is unrealistic. We are not being realistic when we think like that. Instead, we're simply filled with darkness. And what we need to do is to turn away from that focus on the things of the world, making them first of all, remember who we are and what we are created to be like, created in the image and likeness of God. Turn around and turn away from that way of living. That's what repentance means. Stop missing the mark. Stop aiming at the wrong thing. Remember, sin doesn't mean breaking a rule or breaking a law. Sin, amartia, means to miss the mark. And the mark is to live as the human beings that God created us to be. We are created to live in the midst of God's creation, seeing with sound spiritual eyes the reality and all of the magnificence and interest that life presents us. Losing that, we lose everything. And so, it's much more practical advice that we get in these passages than these passages are generally given credit for. Sometimes people have read them and gone out and tried to live like the birds of the air, not being concerned for anything, missing the point. The point is that we have to train ourselves to be able to see the reality of life around us. And we do that by keeping fixed on Christ, on God, on the things that are good and true and beautiful and worthy. And they will make certain that our eyes are sound and we can face the reality of life's difficulties filled with the light of God, instead of being filled with an unrealistic despair. By living from God's life, we're living as God created us to live. And there isn't any difficulty that life can present, that we're not going to be able to deal with. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.